going to be talking about now is what can be done to decrease sports-related eye injuries, and I'm going to view it from a public health point of view. I actually became involved with this through my involvement with Special Olympics. Liberty Sport, who makes Rexpex, the largest manufacturer of protective eyewear for athletes, donated 2,500 pairs a year, and they happen to be based in New Jersey, the Garden State, and that's where I'm from, and they said to me, do you think you can help us in terms of sports protective eyewear and making it more aware? And I said, yeah, and that's how a lot of this began. So it actually does go back to the Special Olympic connection. So what has and could be done to decrease sports-related eye injuries? And I think this is how to take public health policy and make it change public health. This is American Public Health Association. So, and I've gotten a whole education from this because I really wasn't that involved in public health. I'm a private practitioner. But I think that the fact that Healthy People 2010 exists and the fact that it is a public health document with health goals and objectives, and it is issued by the U.S. government, and there is 28 focus areas, and I'm happy to say one of them is vision. And that was the first time that it was vision. I was really surprised to see, even as somebody involved in sports, that one of their objectives was to increase the use of appropriate personal protective eyewear in recreational activities and hazardous situations around the house. So when people sat down, and I wasn't one of those people, and then maybe some of the people in this room are, and they came up and they said, what are ways to improve it, the visual health of people in the United States? This was one of the objectives that they came up with. And I think it really has some traction, because what happened after that, and this is as an optometrist, the AOA took on Healthy People 2010, and they made it Healthy Eyes, Healthy People. And they really kind of bought into this. And I'd read a lot about it in the trade journals. But first, I started reading about it. You know, that's what you got to do with any public health. And I was really amazed that I didn't know this. And I'm a sports vision guy. And that is, eye injury is the leading cause of visual impairment in one eye. More than glaucoma, more than macular degeneration. I was amazed. And it's second to cataract in 2 eyes. So we spend a ton of time as a primary practice optometrist, talking, you know, making sure our patients don't have glaucoma, making sure they don't have macular degeneration, or picking it up, making sure they don't have untreated cataracts, and here we are, people are getting injured. And it's a leading public health problem. So there were an estimated 600,000 sports-related eye injuries, and approximately 40,000 require a trip to the emergency room, which basically means every 13 minutes, there's a person in the United States that goes to the emergency room because they're playing sports. Kids are going out to play and they're hurting their eyes, sometimes permanently. Just recently, there's now more eye injuries occur at home than in the workplace. I've gotten very involved in this, and this is relatively recent. We've done, as a public health organization, a relatively, I wouldn't say great job, but a good job in decreasing industrial eye injuries. We haven't done the same amount of work for injuries that occur in the home or during recreation. And 27% of all eye injuries are sports-related, and that number goes up to 40% in 11 to 14-year-olds, and 59% of pediatric eye injuries occur during sports and recreation, and 72% of sports-related eye injuries occur in people less than 25 years old. So young people in our country, and why is this important? Because there's so many loss of vision years of life. There's a better name for that, but most of the conditions that people deal with that take away their vision occur later in life: cataracts, macular degeneration, glaucoma. This is something that is more likely to happen and debilitate people for a longer period of time. So it makes it even more important. And according to Prevent Blindness America, 90% of all eye injuries are preventable. So here's a very treatable problem that's a major loss of vision, and we're not doing a ton about it. So I came up with an idea as a consultant. I am still a consultant for Liberty Sport. I'm the Director of Professional Relations and Education. And I came into their offices, which were about 30 minutes from me, and I came in with a bright idea. We should create a law. I mean, this is terrible. We got to create a law. We got to protect our kids in New Jersey. We got to do this. And they said, of course, great. You know, they make this stuff. So I said, we're going to mandate protective eyewear. We're going to make sure kids in New Jersey protect their eyes. So I got, and I could tell you 100 stories about how this story, particularly politics in New Jersey. Just a real short aside is that the person who was the original sponsor of this bill was from where Mae McGreevy was, and he decided that he wanted to have a high school friend run against her. to become the assembly person from that district. And she was a Democrat. And what happened is his friend beat her in the primary. So then she switched to Republican. So then he just said that anything that has her name on it, I will not sign. And nothing to do with the merits of the bill. So that was Jersey politics. So that actually put off our bill about a year. But anyway, I came up with the idea to create a coalition. And these are the organizations that supported the bill. New Jersey Parks and Recreation, New Jersey Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, which is like the Governor's Council, New Jersey Academy of Ophthalmology, Lions of Multiple District 16, New Jersey Society of Optometric Physicians, New Jersey Parks and Recreation, New Jersey Opticians, Prevent Blindness America, New Jersey, which is now Tri-State, New Jersey Medical Association, and New Jersey Superintendent of Schools. So when I went to testify before the Senate Health Committee about this bill, and I had representatives of optometry, ophthalmology, and opticianry, and I said to the senators, I said, when's the last time you had all three O's sitting at the same table? So after they stopped laughing, and they had to actually literally pound the gavel, they said, that speaks to the merits of this bill. This is apple pie. This is protecting our children. So there was nobody at the other table. Nobody was against this bill. So we started this, these organizations, formed a coalition. I got in education. You got to get these groups together, form a coalition. So we asked them and got in writing that they were willing to join this coalition. And Governor Cody signed this bill. And one of the things that came up when they signed this bill is there's this great concern, as there should be, and what are you going to do for low-income people? How are you going to protect them? Because are they not going to be able to play sports? And again, this is a lecture in politics and maybe New Jersey politics in particular. I said, well, let's look at bike helmets. We have a bike helmet law in the state of New Jersey, and it's somewhat analogous to eye protection. And they said, no, we took care of that. When we passed our bike helmet law, we started a fund that every kid in the state of New Jersey who gets a ticket for riding a bike without a helmet gets a fine, and that fine goes into a slush fund that will buy bike helmets for low-income children. So I asked a nice next logical question. I said, how many kids in the state of New Jersey got a fine for not wearing a bike helmet? Anybody want to venture an answer to that? Nobody. How many kids got free bike helmets? Nobody. So we didn't want to do that, so we actually put in the bill that we were going to have the state governor's council was going to be able to give grants for low-income kids. Of course, then the governor said anything that has any money appropriation, we're not going to pass because we have no money in the state of New Jersey. So then what actually happened, and we're not actually done with this yet, the Liberty Sport and Solar has agreed to provide low-cost protective eyewear for $39 complete to any volunteer professional who wants to give protective eyewear to low-income children, and that seems to be working out. So they can get it for $40. Normally it's about $150 or more if you're not in the eye care dispensing business. So then, of course, we wanted to spread the law. So we formed a national group, the Coalition to Prevent Sports Eye Injuries. That was kind of logical. And we came up with a mission, learning a lot about missions. And we want to substantially reduce the number of avoidable eye injuries that occur in today's sports and recreations. And we want to have proactive programs. We want to target organized sports organizations, government agencies, parents, and participants with educating them about the risks of sports-related eye injuries and effective measures of prevention. So first we wanted to eliminate street eyewear because they represent an additional risk to eye injuries. And that's what we did in our law in New Jersey. So the law in New Jersey does not mandate every child to wear sports protective eyewear. It outlaws street eyewear in certain sports. And then we want to extend that to people who don't need eyewear, so everybody gets their eyes protected. And we created an advisory committee, Stuart Danker, Doug Weatherspoon, very prominent ophthalmologist, myself and Phil Irons, and opticians Rich Palumbo. So we tried to get all three O's covered in terms of the coalition. And we solicited members. I have brochures for membership, if anybody's interested. And I just explained some of the information I'm talking about, and there's no charge for membership. So anybody can become a member of the Coalition to Prevent Sports Eye Injuries. And then we created, because what happened was, as I was getting an education, we sent somebody out on the road to go to sports groups. And they said, this is great. We want to protect people against sports-related eye injuries. Where do we send them? So, I don't know. So then we came up with the idea that we're going to have certified sports eye protection. So anybody, we did an email blast, anybody who wants to say they were certified sports eye prevention center, they just have to agree to do the three I's, which is inquire, inform, and introduce. And they could be listed on the website, and they people can know where to go. We currently have 1,000 members, sports eye prevention centers. And then we also created a website where we get, we've gotten about 10,000 hits. So people are interested in sports-related eye injuries. To me, 10,000 is not a small number. And then we reached out to sports groups, as I mentioned. We actually paid somebody to go on the road to go to various groups, and they were receptive. And these were some of the groups that we call Tier 1 that have direct channels to at-risk populations, and all these people were very interested, particularly the National Athletic Trainers Association was very interested in working with us in preventing injuries. Dixie Baseball, by the way, mandates protective eyewear on their helmets, and their insurance premium went down 32%. In the state of Ohio, the Ohio Ophthalmological Association has used money they got from the tickle-off from the motor vehicle to provide helmets for all children who play baseball and softball. Unfortunately, that just decreases one-third of all baseball-related eye injuries because two-thirds of them occur in the field. We're still trying to get a meeting with Little League Baseball. Very challenging group to deal with. Very traditional in terms of... but we've had very good success, and now female lacrosse has mandated protective eyewear, and now there's talk about field hockey, and now there's a movement in Canada for indoor soccer to mandate sports protective eyewear. My own son had a retinal tear. Unfortunately, he wasn't wearing protective eyewear when he's playing indoor soccer. So these are the groups, our outreach partners, and we reached out to public health and eye care groups, and this is where I think synergy really works out. We have representatives of a lot of these groups here. So in writing, all of these groups support the increased use of sports protective eyewear. We reached out to the AOA. I'm an optometrist. We sponsored a young advocates meeting. The AOA passed another resolution saying that they're in favor of mandating protective eyewear. We've actually given states funding through the coalition to increase education for the public and eye care professionals to keep injury down in sports. I thought that was kind of cute. Somebody else came up with that, kids grants. And these are the recipients of the grant so far. We have 10 more that are going to be given out. And they also came out with kind of cute names and good programs, more importantly. And then actually I'm going from here to speak to the associations of the state executives. To mandate sports protective eyewear, it's a state initiative. It can't be done federally. So we're reaching out to the various states to follow the example of New Jersey. We also have, if you recall, APHA last year came out with a policy statement saying that they wanted to mandate, they're in favor also, in addition to many other things, mandating sports protective eyewear to protect our children. Prevent Blindness America, when they did some strategic planning, I'm sure Jeff could speak more about this, but one of their goals was to reduce injury-related vision loss by 50% by promoting eye safety. By the year 2020, they've also come out recently with a policy statement. And these things are important. And that's why when I was talking about public health and the American Public Health Association, as a non-public health person, I say, yeah, policy statements, Healthy People 2010, what does that do? But let's look what Healthy People 2010 did. If it wasn't for Healthy People 2010, we would not have that law in New Jersey decreasing sports-related eye injuries. It just gives it so much more credibility. And to have Prevent Blindness America have as one of their strategic goals, the AOA, the American Academy of Ophthalmology, the American Pediatric Association, and also the PBA formed a new eye safety committee, which I'm a member of. And now we're working on a toolkit to be given out to the state affiliates on how to achieve state mandates for sports protective eyewear. Vision Council of America has also been, so these are the major eye groups. And they distributed 25,000 posters, very, very well done posters that are going to be in locker rooms all over the United States talking about eye safety. Nobody was talking about eye safety in sports before. Really, nobody. And we are working on getting a model law that will hopefully be adopted by all the groups. The Vision Council of America, Prevent Blindness America, American Academy of Ophthalmology, and the American Optometric Association. We're hopeful that by the end of this month, we'll have everybody to sign on for that one. And I'd like to thank Eve for her hard work on that. And they also formed a new Vision Protection Committee that is working with the Prevent Blindness America Committee together to see what they can do to reduce this major public health problem. The largest reason for people losing vision in one eye is eye injuries. I also gave a presentation to a sports group. They're now considering, these are physical educators. When I spoke before them at a luncheon in front of national representatives, they said, no. You can't cover people just during sports, after school sports. You got to cover physical education. I see more eye injuries in physical education than I do when I coach. So they might come out with a policy statement as well, and we're working with them. And it wouldn't have happened without the NEI, who came up with Healthy People 2010. We had a meeting where all the stakeholders came together on June 1st and 2nd at the National Institutes of Health, which was titled Self-Eyes While Playing Sports. All these groups were represented. And just like the glaucoma objective, well, this May, the objective is going to be sports protection for children. And also, we're not sure, it might be fishing. Fishing injuries are a very large cause of loss of vision. So we're actually thinking of doing some work in that. But just like they did all that other public service and public information and eye care professional education, the Healthy Vision Month is really a great vehicle to do outreach. And we also have some preliminary discussion to have a follow-up meeting to 2006 in spring of 2009. So these are all public health initiatives that are really, in my opinion, going to make a big difference. We've developed community resources. I said Sports Eye Injury Prevention Center. This is a decal that officers get. This is all the material. I'll go through this real quick. So we provided also materials for eye care practitioners, talking about the frequency, severity, preventable. And this is available from our website, talking about Healthy People 2010, the organizations that support recommending use of sports protective eyewear, the types of sports risk categories, the ages. So you could say, you play baseball and you're 5 to 14. Well, 50%, half the eye injuries occur during that age. You better protect your eye, minus 2 myope. Also, an interesting fact is 1 out of 8 people who get an eye injury do sue if it's a serious eye injury. So it's really a way to get the eye practitioner's attention. And this is recommended eye protection. Polycarbonate, we all know about polycarbonate lenses. And risk to one-eye athletes. This is, you can't talk about sports eye protection without mentioning and acknowledging Paul Venger, ophthalmologist out of Boston. I mean, he's really done an incredible amount of work. And he did some study that in one-eyed person who's amblyopic, was one good eye, they were 150 times more likely to go blind, and half of that is due to trauma. So anybody who's an eye care professional who's not protecting their monocular patients when they're doing the weed whacker or when they're playing sports, really. And I find that as soon as I tell my patients, you're 150 times more likely to go blind, just giving them information, where do I buy that stuff? It's pretty scary. This is basketball eye injuries. We have additional information on the incidents, so you can actually go into sports. Interesting about ice hockey, the shields are 100% effective. That's a protective device. They used to use, and I could be off on this, 6,000 eyes a year in Canada. Now they lose none in organized hockey. Football and lacrosse eye injuries, as I said, female lacrosse has now mandated eye protection in their sports, and they're beginning, they're doing something, I know, in high school softball. They're talking about doing some work there as well. Racket sports, it's very interesting. The state of New Jersey can't play racquetball without eye protection. No law, no nothing. It's insurance. And we're actually looking into the insurance connection. So we want to educate the public. We have public service announcements. Joe, who used to work with the coalition, said, teach your kids to switch their glasses before they play, and you won't be taking lead fragments out of their eye. I mean, it was kind of over the edge, but these public service announcements actually, I think, are pretty well done. I didn't do them. And we obviously want to spread the mandate to other states and sports, taking a by way of doing it. And we obviously want to keep on seeking advice. Some of the advice that I got when some of these committees is that we really feel there might be the possibility to leverage insurance incentives to make this more palatable for parks and recreation departments, which is a large expense for your community that has the little league teams. A large expense is their insurance coverage. And if we could decrease it by mandating protective eyewear, that might be a way to go about it. So I really believe, and I've learned as a non-public health person, that public health policy does matter, and it does change public health.